from Harare, Africa.
Thank you, Dr. Richardson. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Please be seated. We greet Dr. Winston and Lady Veronica. We greet you in Jesus' name with your tremendous staff and, of course, your family. We are always delighted to be here. Chichi, why don't you come greet everybody while I get oriented? Just show them what you're wearing. Show Dr. Winston that I am looking after you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. It's awesome to be in a place where people know how to worship. It's so vibrant in here. I was praying and saying, Father, how high do you want us to go this evening? Amen. And then we have Donald Lawrence coming to tell us we have been released. Amen. So it's as high as you want to go. Amen. It's as high as you want to go this evening. And so I'm so grateful to be here. I want to greet the apostle of this house, Dr. Bill Winston, and his wonderful wife, Lady Veronica. Thank you so much for the invitation. Amen. Africa is on fire. Africa is on fire. And we are so grateful for men and women that are praying for Africa. I know that this church prays for Africa. Opening up a Joseph School in South Africa has been such a tremendous blessing. And so we want to say thank you to this house because you have deep understanding of the promise of God that all men, hallelujah, will prosper. All men. So long as they plug into the promises of God, know His principles, know His systems, work His systems, God is able to prosper us all. Amen. May the Lord bless you this evening. Hallelujah.
I want us to go to Exodus chapter number 3. And how we enjoy being in this particular assembly and count it an honor to minister here with some of the all-time greats. Last year, I was able to come for a few days, and Brother Copeland preached on Sunday night for the good part of 2.5 hours. And when it ended, I was very disappointed because the message was apostolic, it was prophetic, it was fatherly. It was directional, it was experience, it was faith, it was correctional, directional, it was everything. And I listened to that CD so many times and just thought what a privilege it was for me as an individual of all Africans to be in a meeting like that. See, many times we don't take a moment such as that one where fathers who are speaking in a time to our generation, we don't take that as serious as we ought to. Because should the Lord tarry in years to come, see, there's a difference between having a ministry that's a good ministry and somebody that can preach the word well. There's a difference between having a world changer and somebody that can preach well. A few years ago, they said to Mariah Carey, and she was so gracious in her response when they said to her, how do you feel now that you've sold 18 number ones, 18 number one records in your career? And she was so gracious. She said, I sold a lot of records, but I can't be compared to the others that sold 18 number ones like Elvis and like the Beatles. She said, I sold records. They changed the world. And this week, they are going to be men standing here ministering to you that have changed the world. Not just a good word, that have changed the world. And we count it an honor to be here. And I want to just preempt my word this evening by thanking Dr. Winston and his team for making that contribution as a world changer. It's very, very, very well received. And thank this church for participating in that. Amen. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 3. And let's read from verse 13. Exodus 3, verse 13. And the sanctuary is really Chicago weather. You're making me feel at home in Chicago. It's like white people's weather in here. It's so cold. But hopefully I can work myself warm. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am, hath said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Verse 15. This makes this whole verse credible in terms of its application. And God said moreover unto Moses, you can't read verse 14 without adding verse 15. Thus you shall say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. Here it is. This is my name forever. Please say that. This is my name forever. I am is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. This is my memorial unto all generations. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 7. Exodus 20 and verse 7. Wow. This is the list of the Ten Commandments, and we want to pick up verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is not referring to entirely and only to where people use the name of the Lord in a cuss setting or inappropriately. There's a lot more to this than that. He says you will not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And here's the key to this piece. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless. In other words, when you use this name, if you use it and when you use it, the benefit or the consequence of that, you will be the recipient or beneficiary of. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name frivolously or in vain. Father, help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter number 16, verse 13. Jesus is in Philippi and he asks his disciples a very pertinent and important question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So in his question, he answers the question. He asks them, whom do men say that I, and then he answers it, the Son of Man am. And they said unto him, some say you're John the Baptist, or Elijah, or Jerry, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, whom then do you say that I am? I'm going to preach to you for a few minutes tonight on the subject, the I am factor. The I am factor. Jesus said basically almost 12 times in the scripture, almost 12 times, he uses the I am as to identify who he is, and what he does. So when he tells the disciples, asking them a question of who men say that he is, he tells them in no uncertain terms that I am, I am. And when you use that name, the name of I am, it's a memorial to all generations. And he says if you use it appropriately, you will get the benefit of it, and or you will be a beneficiary or recipient of what's not so good. So let's read some scriptures. We'll just mention these in breezing. Won't be long tonight. Won't be long tonight. John chapter number 6, verse 35. Jesus says in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me will never thirst. So when you are hungry, I am the bread of life. In other words, I will give you the revelation that's necessary to fill your every hunger pang that you have, no matter what it is, because I am the bread of life. That's why he was able to take 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply it. He was also able to take bread and break it and say, this is my body broken for you and for many. And say that this is the message of dominion. He was also able to take bread and break it in the presence of 2 men in Emmaus who were so discouraged and opened their eyes to get revelation. Because I am the bread of life. John chapter number 8 and verse 12. Jesus says this twice. In John 8 to a particular woman and also in John 9 to a blind man he heals. In John 8 verse 12. Jesus said again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. The backdrop of this scripture is they were trying to accuse, they had accused a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they said to Jesus, this woman, according to the law, should be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus, through his gracious testimony, allows this woman to go free and says, I am the light of the world. And then in chapter number 9 and verse 5 of John, Jesus says now to a blind man who was healed, he says again, he says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. In any place of literal and abstract darkness, he is there. In the darkness of an African moment, as we experience in a dark hour in Zimbabwe, he is the light of the world. Not hypothetically, but actually literally. I am the light of the world. John chapter number 10, verse 9. John chapter number 10, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. This is true of any expression of life. If you need a way to find, you've got to come to Jesus who says, I am the door. I am the door. Let's go to John chapter number 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. John chapter number 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, because I am the resurrection and the life. John chapter number 14, verse 6. He is responding to a question that Dr. Phil poses to him. Philip says, we've been so long with you, show us the Father. And Jesus says, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John chapter 15, verse 15. In his discourse to his apostles, after their private dinner, which we call the Last Supper, Jesus adds something very important. He says to them, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I am the vine and the source of all life. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. John is in the Spirit in verse 10 on the Lord's day, and he hears a voice behind him. So he's in the seventh day, in the holiest of holies, he hears a voice behind him. So he turns around and looks into the sixth day and sees Jesus standing in the middle of the candlesticks. And in verse 11, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. And then in verse 17 and 18, the last part of verse 17, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am alive forevermore. See, there are times in your life when you are on a particular journey, as is the case with John, who was in isolation and solitary confinement on the Isle of Patmos. He had his eyes taken out, from what we're told. And so in this place of solitary confinement, he's in a place of worship on the Lord's day, and he hears a voice behind him. The voice does not say, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. The voice is an assuring voice. I am the Alpha and Omega. In other words, I have begun something in your life, and because I'm Alpha, I am also Omega. I will finish it in your life. So no matter where you find yourself in life, on the Lord's day, if you look behind you in the periphery of your life, you will find the finisher of your faith. He has started it. The devil is a liar, and he will finish it. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22, verse 13. In the conclusion of this book of Revelation, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 16 says, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Amen. Everyone say, I am.
I am.
Say, I am.
I am.
All right, let's do a little bit of work right now. We come out of a world where we've been taught correctly to confess the word. The Bible says, as you know, in Proverbs 18, verse 20, that a man's belly will be satisfied from the foot of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. This is one that you know very well. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's confession. Everyone say confession.
Confession.
This church knows this well. Donald wrote a song, Confession. Romans 4, verse 17 says this, that God who gives life to dead things calls those things that are not as though they already are. That's confession and prophecy. Romans chapter number 10, verse 8, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the confession or the profession of our faith, for he is faithful that promise. Job 22:28, he says here that you will decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Now, this is something that you know. Confession is a statement of truth based on Scripture. Confession is a statement of truth based on Scripture. Then we go from confession to prophecy. The power of prophecy is greater than the application of confession. Confession is a statement of truth based on Scripture. Prophecy is a declaration of destiny. Prophecy is a statement of projection that defines your destiny. So when you prophesy a thing, you can literally go way into the future and make a declaration against the circumstance that you're facing. We had a very unusual experience today. I was supposed to come straight from somewhere to Chicago and spend the day here, so we would not be flustered getting here for tonight. But a good friend of ours from Phillips, Craig and Dean, the Phillips of the bunch, Randy, pastors a church in Austin. So we went to Austin this morning to share two services with them. And I particularly have affection for that church because it was out of that church that a missionary came to Zimbabwe in 1972 and preached to our family. But this morning I met the Hancocks. He was a young man in 1970 who took a gospel track and gave it to these hippies on the streets of Austin. They were burning incense. They were doing Hare Krishna chants. They were selling jewelry made of forks and all that stuff, and burning incense and chanting and, you know, my sweet Lord, Hare Krishna, George Harrison stuff. And just, you know, and this man came and put a track in their hand, and the gospel was ignited in their spirit. Missionaries Robin and Sue Ferris were dramatically saved. And to get them out of their social circle, they were sent to Zimbabwe. And I'm the oldest of 10 children. My mother's one of 13. And my parents were having difficulty in their marriage. And so the Ferrises came and accidentally, on purpose, met our family and preached to our family. I was 15 and a half and was dramatically full of the Holy Ghost. And the Ferrises left Zimbabwe feeling like they had failed. Well, today our ministry is now in over 24 countries. But this morning was particularly important for me, because this man who almost 40 years ago obeyed God and gave a track to Robin and Sue Ferris came for prayer this morning. He has tumors on his kidneys. Now, Chichi has an anointing to heal kidneys. Now, watch this. His obedience to God prophetically 40 years ago was actually positioning him for a moment of crisis. This morning, my God, we felt the healing power of God by giving a track to somebody that thought they failed. That man got healing this morning. The devil is a liar. Something you do this week is going to project for the future. You can't lose with what God's about to do in your life. Faith is greater than the things we anticipate. The actions that you project in are greater than the things you do. The positions you find yourself in and the decisions you make are greater than where you find yourself. Oh, it's going to be good here tonight. You can feel it rolling in. So that's why we confess the word, but we also prophesy. Prophesy is an instrument of instinctive belief for our success in the future. And so the word prophet is firstly used for the very first time in Genesis chapter number 20 and verse 7, where God says to Abimelech, he says, give the man back his wife, Abraham, for he is a prophet. He will pray for you and he will cause you to live. You will not die and you will be healed. And God stopped the barrenness in their lives. All of those things prophecy will do. Prophecy will do. Now, let's go to Psalm 120 and verse 6. Still building my little case. Let me build my case a little. Psalm 120, verse 6. Psalm 120, verse 6. My soul has dwelt for a long time with people that hate order. One day you have to introduce me to Pookie. Whoever that brother is, he's famous in Africa. I was almost assured that Pookie wasn't like a Madea, you know, fictitious, hypothetical figure. I pray Pookie will get saved. Amen. He says here, my soul has been, for a long time, I've dwelt with people who do not like peace. They don't like order. They don't like progression. They despise coming out of their mess because they benefit from their rubbish. But he says in verse 7, I am for peace. That means I am for order. I am for categoric promotion. I am for discipline. I am for promotion. I am for going to the next level. I am for elevation. But he says, but when I speak, when I say I am for peace, when I speak, they are for war. So anytime you begin to invoke the I am factor, there's all kinds of things that rise up in your life to inhibit your progression. Especially when you're living with crazy people in your life. Let's go to Joel chapter number 3 and verse 10. I'm nearly there. Joel 3 verse 10. Joel is the prophet that's predicting an outpouring, a deluge of God's power in the end time. And in the middle of this interesting scripture, he says, beat your plowshares into swords, your pruning hook into spears. And then he says, let the weak say, I am weak. When you make confession and when you prophesy, you do not, this is going to sound wrong, but you're not supposed to tell the truth. Because the truth is, you are weak. But you are not supposed to tell the truth about your circumstance. Let the weak say. Now, the reason he's using this here, the reason he's saying, let the weak say, I am strong, the I am factor works this way. He says, if you use my name, it's for a memorial to all generations. And he says, if you do not use it correctly, you will receive the consequence of applications in the wrong way. So here's the principle. When you say, I am, the principle of the universe is this. The minute the universe hears the word I am, whatever follows I am starts looking for you. Strong. The minute you say, I am strong, all strength, therefore, will I glory in my tribulation, for my grace is sufficient for you. When I am weak, then I am strong. Let the poor say, see, the truth of the matter is, a poor person is poor. But the minute a poor person says, I am poor, everything in the world of poverty starts organizing itself to your life. The devil is a liar. I am rich. Whatever you say I am and follows I am is coming your way. The Lord will not hold you guiltless. So if you say, if you do this and say, I'm stupid, everything in the world of stupid starts looking for you. The most ridiculous, craziest, negative people start coming to knock on your door. So let the weak say, let the poor say, whatever you say I am, the universe is programmed to find you. I am rich. I am wealthy. I am dark and lovely. Michael, I am bad to the bone. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am prosperous. I am wealthy. I am a millionaire. I am very rich. I am big gifts. Give three people a high five and tell them a few I ams. I am rich. I am the future. I am destiny. I am wisdom. I am revelation knowledge. I am understanding. I am mysteries. I am revelation. I am power. I am miracles. I am signs. I am a wonder. My confessions are totally changed now. My confessions are every day for almost an hour. Every day I look at the devil in his face and say, I am rich. I am blessed. Because whatever follows I am, I shall be. So here's your first homework. It is law in our church now for everybody every day to do I ams. And from kids all the way up, they walking around saying, I am blessed. I am a diamond. I am married. I am a wonderful husband. I am a great father. I am money. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I am money. I am a jet. I am an S600 Mercedes Benz. Who's bad now, Michael? Everything in that world starts looking for you. I feel something rolling in this place. I want my money and I want it now. I am going to the next level. I am power. I am signs and wonders. I am property. I am land. I am titles. Slap someone a high five. Just slap them a high five. I am good measure. I am pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I am a worshiper. I'm a praiser. Come on, someone. I want you to shout 12 I ams. I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am highly favored. I am favor. 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 Now clap your hands if you have strength in this place. Can I preach for 2 more minutes? You see, whatever you say I am follows. So if you're having a problem, do not say to your counselor, if you're having a marital problem, do not say to your counselor, I am so unhappy. Because unhappy is going to come and camp in your yard. Unhappy will sit in your car all the way on Interstate 90 going down to Chicago. Along with I ams, you have to accompany your I ams with I am nots. I am the head. I am not the tail. Oh, I'm going to preach now. I am above only. I am not beneath. I am rich. I am not poor. I am happy. I am not unhappy. I am prosperous. I am not empty. I want the devil and his mother-in-law to hear me strong tonight. Devil, it's a different day. It's a different age. It's a different field. I'm invoking the I am factor. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am blessed. I am not cursed. I am above only. I am not beneath. I am promoted. I am not demoted. Yes, 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 yes. I am increase. I am not lack. I am overflow. I am not empty. I am not homeless. I am not renting. I am not jobless. But I am a millionaire. Yeah, baby, you better hear me strong. I am rich. I am a tither. I am generous. I am anointed. I am a miracle worker. I am future. I am the blessing of the Lord. I am anointing. I am the power and the force of God. I am what God says I am. I want you to tell 4 people I am. Tell them what you are. I am, but I'm not. I am an apostle. I am a prophet. I am prophetic. Now watch me here. Watch me. Let's deal with some reality. Let's deal with some reality. See, if 10 people in this room, if 10 people all get up and say, I am the President of the United States of America, It's not physically possible for all the 10 to be president of the United States of America. But what happens is this: the behavior, the statesmanship, the quality of what it takes to be in that high office starts looking for you. Devil, I may not sit in the Oval Office, but just let me tell you this one thing: if they ever falter there, I might be next in line. So what I say I am is looking for me in this house yet tonight. Put both your hands on your head and say, I am rich. I am prosperous. I am wisdom. In Genesis 32, verse 27 and 28, Jacob is already blessed by Isaac. Jacob is already blessed. Isaac has blessed him. The Bible says in Genesis that Jacob became very wealthy. God had blessed Jacob in a tremendous way. The Bible says in 30 verse 43 of Genesis that Jacob became extremely wealthy. In Genesis 31, the sisters, Leah and Rachel, the brothers said, God has blessed our father through Jacob. So Jacob was already blessed. But in Genesis chapter 32, verse 28, 27, and 28, Jacob goes across a little river and he starts wrestling with God. And in the middle of this wrestling match, God asks him a question. He says, tell me, what is your name? And Jacob says, I am Jacob. And God's about to change that forever in his life, because you can be blessed and still say some I ams, that when you say it, the old life starts looking for you to pull you back into that poverty mentality. The devil is a liar. Tonight, my name is no longer Jacob. Tonight, I am Israel. I am a prince with God. I am blessed and elevated. I am going for everything that God has promised me. Let's go to chapter number 9 of the book of Acts. Nearly there. We're nearly there. Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. You see, Saul, who later becomes Paul, our apostle, and he starts breathing threats against the disciples. And he's arresting a few. Had a few killed, asked Stephen. And so verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light around about him, a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and a voice out of heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the persecutor said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Anytime you try coming out of anything to establish a name for yourself, persecutors or haters start rising up from everywhere. If you start breaking into new territory as a business person and your products start becoming competitive, the spirit of a persecutor starts rising up all over in your business. They want to dig all kinds of stuff to discredit you and shame you and make you feel like you're nobody. But baby, in the middle of your storm in the desert, don't you ever change who you are. Men say you're Jeremiah, and men say you're Elijah, and men say you're one of the prophets. I don't care who's persecuting you. Generations later, stand to who you are. I am Jesus. You can't kick against this thing. Oh yes, they'll try to persecute you and accuse you of all kinds of things, whoever they are. But stand true to your I am. I am rich. If poverty tries to persecute you, I am rich. If sickness tries to persecute you, I am healed. I come against the spirit of persecution on someone's life. If you have fear and if you are intimidated, fight the fight of faith. Stand true to your I am. God will see you through. God, even our God, will bless us. I am that I am, Pharaoh. And my last scripture, and then we're going to pray. John chapter number 18. Starting from verse 1. John 18, verse 1. Judas then, having received a band of officers of the chief priests and Pharisees, came to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus had taken many retreats. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them that came, they said, "Whom seek ye? Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, and they that betrayed him, that stood with them, as soon as he had said, "I am he," they started backing up. And the Bible says they fell to the ground. Devil, you better back up real good. This is 2010, devil. You dealing with another Tudor Bismarck. 10 years ago, I'd back down every time you came to arrest me when I made a declaration. But devil, I know who I am. I know what I believe. What the Bible says I can have is mine. You can come and try to arrest me. I will not change my confession as to who I am. I am rich. The deal is this, is that the devil is a tremendous psychologist. You're dealing with a familiar spirit that's been in families for 500 years. They know every button to press. The devil understands what I call trigger mechanisms. If I want to make Chi-Chi mad, there's just two or three things I have to say. And she knows how to do the same. It's a trigger mechanism. All she has to do is mention one of my brothers, and I just start getting all kunta. It's a trigger mechanism. And so what this devil does, when you are at your highest point of receiving, he'll use a familiar spirit to trigger a response in your life so that you can switch your I am, because God will not hold you guiltless. You have an opportunity to submit your business plan, and you are believing that it's success. You brought it to the altar. Dr. Winston has preached over it. People have prayed over it. You believe. You take it in, and you walk out after the meeting, because their body language is very, very neutral. They don't show any emotion. And when you walk out of there, you say things like, "I'm not going to make it." You had just said the day before, "I am blessed." Now this trigger mechanism is now working against you. You have to be disciplined in this season. You have to be extremely disciplined. This is what I need a commitment from you on. I need a commitment from you that you are going to be extremely, extremely disciplined in the way you apply the I am. I am successful. I am blessed. I am anointed. And then you got to watch the kinds of things that you say in I ams. I'm late. I'm sorry. Not sorry apologetic, but sorry individual. I'm closing with this. David said this. He said, "Every time I try to surround myself with sense, and I say I am for peace, which is order, I am for promotion, all kinds of voices around me arise up to destroy what I am." I saw in the last few years, I have seen how God has caused the spirit of acceleration to move ministries and individuals dramatically. I didn't have time to give the brothers my flash drive to show the 20 largest church buildings in the world. Of the largest church buildings in the world, all 20 of them. Most of those churches took 300 years to build, including St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. over 300 years to build. But in the last 10 years, throughout the world, there are churches that are four times the size of that building that have taken 1 year to build and totally paid for. Because of the kinds of things that are shifting in the heavens. This week is a week of extreme acceleration. This is a week where your faith is going to be ignited on a level where God's going to jump out of a burning bush and tell you, I am the God you've been seeking. I am the one that's pulling you out of your mess. I am coming to take you out of Pharaoh's grip. You've been enslaved for 430 years. I am the God. And you tell Moses, tell the people, I am free. I am not a slave. I am rich. I am not leaving empty. And Pharaoh will not be able to hold you. And here's my conclusion. And then we'll pray. In the I Am Factor series, there's one thing that I teach. Is that when somebody asks you a question, who is coming out of poverty? You don't say, I am. You say, I am. I am. Who is taking your family out of poverty? I am. Who's about to enroll in university for your doctorate? Not I am. I am. I am. And when you apply that I am, all kinds of things begin to transpire in your life. I am highly favored of the Lord. I am in a season of absolute blessing. I am a season of tremendous faith. I am blessed above measure. Stand with me as we pray with you now. No. There's a man in our church that has written over 700 I Ams. That's a bit busy. I have about 150, and I say most of those every day. I Ams. I am. Hallelujah. And it's changed the way we do everything. It changes the way I approach life. It changed my confession totally and completely. Because not only am I making a statement of truth based on Scripture, I'm actually releasing something in the heavens to work towards me. This began for me when I visited this assembly in March. When Uncle Reuben drove us into the pastor's receiving area, I saw Dr. Winston's motor vehicle, S600 Mercedes-Benz. And a little voice said to me, he said, I'm giving you a S600 Mercedes-Benz. It was the time I was working with this I Am Factor. So every day, when I got home, I started saying, I am an S600 Mercedes-Benz. 10 days into my I Ams, Victor called me and said, I want to show you something. And I just went to see a house, a series of properties, and I drove by Victor's, and here was this S600 Mercedes-Benz. I could run through a troop and jump over a wall. Took me for a ride. That's a bad car. A short story long. I've enjoyed driving that car now for the last month and a half. So, this is not a negative confession, it's a confession of progression. See, last year when I came here as Brother Copeland, and there was Tudor Bismarck, and it's Jesse Duplantis, Larry Thompson, Dr. Winston, Dr. Price, Creflo Dollar, all of the brothers came here in their private plane. So I'm like, okay. Are you trying to show up a brother? Dr. Winston put his arm around me in the green room. thank you for loving us. Just gave me words of encouragement. So I began to say, I am a jet. I am a jet. I am a jet. So today we didn't have to use public transport. Because we're learning. So last Friday, I was at a hectic schedule all over Africa, just all over Africa. We lead a group called the Council of African Apostles. These are the largest ministries on the continent. We get together a couple of times a year and we work on strategies and solutions in terms of political, economic, and so on and so forth to move Africa dramatically forward. And most of the leaders there, I mean all of the leaders, they have incredible, huge, giant, humongous ministries. Thousands of people. And so moving in Africa has been a challenge. I was addressing from the Council of African Apostles in Ghana. We went to speak to the African Unity and present there. And just moving in Africa, what was a 4-hour journey, took us 20 hours to get there. It was horrible. And so I began to say that. So last week I was preaching in a certain town and there was a brother there that said, Bishop, we understand that you do need some help. And there's many of us that are working together. Now watch this. It's not yet in my hand, but it's in the conversation. I am. Now, I want you to think of 7 I ams. And don't be frivolous about it. 7 I ams. Because you're going to say them together. You're going to say them out loud. And then I'm going to seal this with an apostolic word over your life. That in this season, all kinds of things will alter their direction to find where you are. Okay, in the count of 3, you're going to say your 7 I ams. Maybe you have to write them down. Maybe you have to give it a second thought. You know, don't be frivolous. Be specific and be particular. Are you all ready? I want you to raise your right hand. And I want you to say your I am. Say them as if God is deaf, as if he's got a hearing aid and the battery's flat. Are you ready on the count of 3? 3, let's go. We now come against a low self-esteem. We take a hold of a low self-esteem. We break that spirit of a low self-esteem on men and women. We take authority over a low self-esteem. I am confident in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, you have commanded blessing. In this catalytic week, in this catalytic week, in this week where you are distributing unusual blessing and unusual miracles and unusual breakthrough and unusual acceleration and uncommon gifts and uncommon reward, uncommon blessing in this convention, we command every person here to receive. For pastors looking for land and property and buildings, we command land and buildings and chairs and cameras and microphones and sound systems and keyboards. We command municipalities to open the doors for every pastor and leader here in the name of Jesus. We command in this church a season of marriages, just weddings everywhere. Everywhere, just marriages everywhere. We command it everywhere, everywhere. In Jesus' name. Amen. Join hands with a believer. Join hands with a believer. Join hands with a believer. I was having dinner with the mayor of Windhoek in Namibia last week. And the mayor told me this. He said he was at a mayor's convention in Shanghai, where mayors of capital cities in the world were there for this convention. That's what he told me. It's astounding. He said the budget for the city of Shanghai, which has over 20 million people, the annual budget for the city of Shanghai for 2009-2010 is $1.3 trillion. And they have raised, through taxes and revenues and all of those things, they have raised $1.8 trillion, have a surplus of $500 billion. I went to research the budget for Chicago. I won't even talk about Harare. It's about $25 billion. $1.3 trillion with a surplus of $500 billion to $25 billion. At some point, somebody has to accelerate to break into some stuff. Right here, you have to. You have to, you've got to be serious about this. So in our conversation, talking about the $1.3 trillion and the things that were happening, Dr. Khamedzi, who is part of our council, has just, he's been working with commodities and broking some things. They've just had made available to them $280 billion. To buy anything that breathes and lives in Africa, from land to mines to gold to platinum. $280 billion. And they're looking for mines, looking for diamonds. That's the kind of stuff that's floating around in the atmosphere. Not about paying your rent, that's so silly. Buying spam. We're commanding this place a multi-billion dollar anointing. It's commanded. It is commanded. Thursday afternoon, had lunch with a brother in the city of Omaha, and he's now working with the Sheikh, the third richest man in Doha. This man gave all of his friends for their birthday a jet. For their birthday. This year, he gave all of his friends, and he's about to give this pastor this house that cost $1.8 million just as a little token and a little gift. And he said, we're looking for Christian business people that have integrity that we want to join in partnership with. He said, the problem is that many Christians are not thinking big enough. I am a big thinker. Tonight I command most of you not to sleep. You're not going to sleep until you write your I ams and take your head to a different level. And every service, you're going to wave your I ams and you're going to sow an offering that's credible to match your I am. And by the time Dr. Dollar preaches on Friday night, all kinds of juices are going to be flowing. There's going to be testimonies of breakthrough and anointing. I'm going to pray. But Dr. Bishop Katanga was in a meeting and I preached a similar message Friday night. Saturday morning, he got the breakthrough. He flew to Harare for 5 minutes. He flew into Harare, my city. He came in, he said, Bishop, I know you're busy. He said, I brought an offering. I've come here 5 minutes for you to bless me. These are my I ams, because when I said I am property, he said, the owner of the land I've been trying to get, call me Saturday morning. He said, it's not a business day, but we're giving you this land. That's how fast this is working. I command it in your life. Now raise the hand you're holding. We command this week to be the greatest week you have ever had. That tomorrow when Dr. Copeland opens the door, you will receive on a level that you have never received. Now unjoin those hands and clap your hands and praise the Lord. Everybody!
Now, that fits with what I saw, that this will be the greatest week in your life up until this point. This is going to be it. That God's going to accelerate things in your life. And he told you, he gave you wisdom. Now, don't move until I finish speaking. This is a church of order, and you're going to be orderly so you can get your inheritance. He's telling you the secret. Put it down and wave it every night. Put it, all seven of them down, and every night you bring it and wave it. All you have to do is obey the prophet. I'm telling you, the way I got my airplane is a man from Africa came and said, your airplane is in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I just obeyed the prophet and my airplane manifested. I'm telling you, don't think that it makes sense. It's making faith. God is looking for obedience in this last hour, and I'm telling you, what you have been looking for is now come. Your days of delays are over. Your days of struggling are over. Your days of denials are over. God is manifesting success in your life this week. Now, somewhere, we're going to have to manifest the sons of God, manifest the kingdom. The world is waiting on the manifestation. We've been talking a good game, but he told you now how we're going to cross over. Just bring the thing and wave it before God. Each night, I'm going to call for the wave, and you wave it before God, and if you just do what he says, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your health, your wealth, just wave it before God, and these things will come to pass. I know that's right. Man, I receive it. Let me tell you something. He doesn't know it, but Bishop Bismarck is one of my favorite preachers. He came here, and this is what he said. He was up here preaching, and he was high in the Holy Ghost. And he said, by God, that bank should have been manifested by now. Well, listen, I'm thinking it's natural delays. But once he said that, it triggered something inside. I began to see how the devil had held me up. And the next thing I know, that bank was manifested quickly because he gave me a word from Harare, Zimbabwe. I'm saying every person this week is coming for a word for you. Now, before we leave, somebody here needs to be saved. I don't know who you are, but you need to get in on this. So whoever it is, let me tell you, Jesus died for your sins. Whoever it is, let me let you know, it's no coincidence that you've come here tonight. God has a plan for your life. And now he wants you to get into it. I'd like the privilege of praying with you like they prayed for me some years ago and brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. Whoever you are right now, press your way out into the aisle, come down and stand at the altar with me right now. Let me pray for you that God will bring you in to everything the man of God talked about tonight. Whoever it is, right now, take a step of faith. Come on down here. Stand with me right now. Come on. Press your way. Press your way. I said press your way and come on down here. Praise God. I'm going to give you a moment to come. I'm going to give you a moment to come. Anybody right now to be saved, to get Jesus into your life. I'm not closing yet because I'm waiting on you. Come on. There's somebody here.